And we're just so thankful to hear of the good health of the baby, the new baby, and the mother. We thank God for that so very, very much. Brother Dennis has already says he has a basketball. It's a boy, of course. He has a basketball and a lawnmower waiting on him. But I told him I'm sure he's going to hold the basketball until he can learn to operate the lawnmower. That's the reward he gets, to play basketball if he can learn to operate the lawnmower. He also mentioned that Sister Alice has been suffering with a bout of flu or some kind of illness this weekend. So let's be remembering her in our prayers also, as well as little Takeri and Sister Shaka, and also Carrie. Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 is our scripture text this evening. Paul says this to the church at Colossae prior to the verses that I'll read tonight. As you will notice in your Bible, he had talked to them about putting to death certain things that were sinful in their lives and putting on the new man being created, after Christ Jesus. Then he says, and above all these things, verse 14, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I'm sure tonight that we realize that the body that he's talking about is the church. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23 teaches us that, as well as Colossians 1 and verse 18. So he says again that they had been called in this one body, in this one church, and he wanted them to be thankful. I don't know about you this evening, but I am thankful for the church. I am thankful for the church that Jesus died for when he shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary. And I'm thankful that I'm a member and that you are a member, those of us who are, that we're members of that blood-bought church. But not only am I thankful to God for the church, but I'm thankful to God this evening for the perfect church. That's what I want to talk about this evening. Thank God for the perfect church. Notice I didn't say the perfect people, but the perfect church. The Colossian Christians had been delivered from the power of darkness, and they had been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Also, they were now complete in Christ. Colossians 2 and verse number 10. Therefore, they needed to look nowhere else for the blessings that could come only from God. It is little wonder then that Paul exhorted these Christians to be thankful in the one body, because all of the blessings that they needed was in Christ, was in the body. Why then would they need to look anywhere else? Everything tonight, this evening, that we need spiritually is in Christ and in the one body. Why? Because it is a perfect church. And when I say it is a perfect church, as I've said, not in the sense that its members are perfect, but in the sense that it is perfect in its divine nature. And I think tonight that if people would realize that the church is perfect in its divine nature, when things go wrong, as they would term it, in the church, as far as they are concerned, that they wouldn't leave it. They wouldn't leave it to look for something else. Again, when they are enticed by other things, they wouldn't leave something that's perfect to go to something that's imperfect. The church is a perfect in the institution. Let us then look tonight why I'm saying that the church is a perfect institution. And when we understand it from that perspective, I believe then we would follow Paul's exhortation that we would be a thankful people, to be members of the perfect church. Number one this evening, the church of our Lord is perfect in the divine nature again, because it has a perfect head. The church of Christ has a perfect head. The head of any institution reflects honor or dishonor upon that institution. Christ then being the head of the church, there is nothing but honor upon that institution. That's why we shouldn't be ashamed to tell people that we are members of the Church of Christ. Don't ever hold your head down. Don't ever be ashamed to say I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Because it is a glorious institution. According to Ephesians chapter 5. And verses 25 and 26. It's an honorable institution. It's a glorious institution. Because it has the perfect head. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, speaking about Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the he? Christ. Christ is the head of the church. And Christ is perfect. How do I know he's perfect? Because the Bible says that he is perfect. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says this: though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. So Jesus then is a perfect Lord. And of course, he was perfect before he came to this earth. But once he came to this earth, taking on himself the form of a servant, of the form of a man, he learned obedience and he became perfect even as a man. That's why he didn't sin. Because he was both a perfect God and he was a perfect man. So he learned obedience, the Bible says, by the things which he suffered, and because of this, he became perfect. Therefore, being a perfect Lord, he makes no mistakes. Aren't you glad tonight that we have a head that makes no mistakes? No wonder there's so much glory in the church. There's so much honor in the church because it has a head that makes no mistakes. Therefore, since he makes no mistakes, we can put our trust and our confidence in him completely. What man do you know among us? What woman do you know among us? What person that you know among us that makes no mistakes? But Jesus makes no mistakes because he's perfect. And so then, the church is perfect because his head is perfect. But not only that, another reason why we ought to be so thankful
this evening for the perfect church, because it is built, that is, the church is built on a perfect foundation. Nothing wishy-washy about the foundation that the church is built on. The church is built on a perfect foundation. And you and I know this evening that a building is no stronger than its foundation. And the Bible declares that Jesus, this perfect head that we just finished talking about, that Jesus is the foundation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 beginning, "For we are laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I don't care how good a carpenter you may be, you can't lay a foundation as good as Jesus Christ. Another foundation, he says, can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus then, being that perfect head, he's also a perfect foundation. And that's why, again, I can have confidence in knowing that the church is going to stand. I may not stand, but the church is going to stand. That's why I'm looking at this from the divine sense tonight, so that when things go awry again, that we'll stick with the church. Don't leave the church. Because if we leave the church, we're going to leave its perfect head. We're going to leave its perfect foundation. That foundation, being Jesus Christ, was a tried stone. Back in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 16, the messianic prophet Isaiah said this concerning Jesus Christ. He says, "Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, I lay in Jerusalem, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." When something is perfect, it's sure. A sure foundation. "He that believeth shall not make haste." That's why Peter could say, in answer to those who asked him, "By what authority have you done this?" When they healed this lame man, "By what authority have you done this?" He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, does this man stand before you whole?" Acts 4 and verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." Jesus then is that perfect foundation which the church is built upon. And when we build our lives upon Jesus Christ, we'll be able to stand. The reason why you and I falter is because we go away from the word of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a" what? "Wise man that built his house upon a rock. When the winds came and the rains came and the floods came," Bible says, "they beat upon this house and it fell not." Why? Because it was built or founded upon a rock. If our lives are built upon Christ, we'll be able to stand when all of these things happen. But then he goes on and said, "But whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I'll liken him unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand." When all of those same things happen. You see, the same thing happened to the foolish man that happened to the wise man, but only one of them stood. These things, these elements, the rains, the flood, and the winds, they all bombarded this house of the foolish man. But guess what? It fell. And the Bible says, "Great was the fall of it." Why did it fall? Because it was built upon the sand. It was not built upon the sure foundation. So I would say to us this evening, thank God for the perfect church, because it's built upon a sure foundation, a solid foundation, and that foundation is Christ. Thank God for the perfect church. But not only does the church have a perfect head, not only is the church built upon a perfect foundation, but the church has and is governed by a perfect law. Everything is perfection. Everything is just right. We can't go wrong by staying with the church. It is governed by a perfect law. And this law, which is none other than the Word of God, is called the law of liberty. James chapter 1 and verse number 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deeds." We are blessed in our deeds because we are following a perfect law, a perfect rule, the perfect word of Christ, the perfect word of God, where no mistakes are in it. We can't help but be a spiritual success if we follow the word of God, because it's perfect law. Yes, indeed. The Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse number 7, he says there that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so if the word, if the law, if the guide that God has for us is perfect, it needs no modification. Again, just like these Colossian Christians had been exhorted in Colossians 2 and verse 10, that you are complete in Christ. Don't look to the philosophers of men. Don't look anywhere else but to Christ, because you've got everything you need in Christ. We have everything we need in the law of Christ, in the word of God. Everything is there. Therefore, it doesn't need any modification. It doesn't need any changing. Doesn't need any addition. Doesn't need any subtraction. Matter of fact, we're condemned if we do that. The psalmist said a long time ago in Psalms 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God has this thing just the way he wants it. So we need to keep our hands out of it. Just adhere to what he has already given us. So we have then this perfect law, the perfect will of God in the church. And so then when I follow God's word, I don't have anything to worry about, because God's word is perfect. And not only is it perfect, but it's going to last forever. Bible says in Mark chapter 13 and verse 31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." I'm thankful this evening that God's word will not pass away. The law of the Lord, the word of God, will accomplish its purpose. There are two major purposes of the word of God. Number one, to save us or condemn us. It's going to accomplish its purpose. If we live by it, it'll save us. If we don't live by it, it's going to condemn us. And so I would behoove us all to live by the word of God. And so then, the law of the Lord is perfect. The word of God is perfect. So don't look to anything else. But then fourthly, this evening, and lastly, being a faithful member of the church, we can become perfect ourselves and live with God throughout eternity. I said, by being a faithful member of the church, we can become perfect ourselves and live with God throughout eternity. Why can't we become perfect? Because the law, the word that he has given us to live by, it's perfect. And if we live by it, we can be perfect. I didn't say sinless, but I said perfect. So we can be perfect. That is, we can be everything that God wants us to be in this life by following the word of God. But we got to become a member of the body of the church and then live by the law that is to govern the church, which is the word. Because we have God's word, which is perfect. Again, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. The scriptures were given for the purpose of saving and keeping us saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are, number one, saved, and number two, if you keep in memory, you'll be saved, what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." So the word of God then was given to save us and to keep us saved. But not only to keep us saved, but it was also given to make us perfect. Listen to what the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 3 rather, verse 16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God. And is profitable, or suitable for what? Doctrine. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all or every good work." So the word of God, then, when we follow the word of God, we can become perfect individuals. We can become complete individuals. We can become the people that God wants us to be if we follow the word of God. No wonder when Jesus gave some teachings in Matthew chapter 5, and he talked about, you know, loving your enemy, praying for those that despitefully use you, talking about how God sends his rain on the just as well as the unjust, talking about if you love them that love you, you know better than the publicans and the sinners. And then he goes down in verse number 48, he says, "Be ye what? Perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." So then, the word of God says we can be a complete people. We can be the people that God wants us to be if we follow the word of God that was given for that express purpose. So, thank God for the perfect church. And if we are doing what God wants us to do, when we follow his word, we can live throughout eternity in the perfect church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says this: "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout what? All ages, world without end." You know, when we get to heaven, we'll still be members of the church, and the church will still be in existence. We'll be members of the church, and it will have no end. It'll have no end because Daniel the prophet was inspired to say in the long ago in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel said this: "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand," how long? "Forever." The church of our Lord is going to stand forever. Why? Because it's a perfect church. And I say this many times, that the church is going to heaven whether I go or not. And I want to encourage all of us to be a part of that institution, doing what God wants us to do, so that we can go there when that divine institution get back to heaven. So again, don't let somebody else's life determine whether you be faithful to the Lord. You be faithful to the Lord because you know the Lord is going to be faithful to you if you live according to his will. Somebody says, "I just can't stand going there because so-and-so is there. Or I just can't stand doing that because I just don't like the way they do this. I don't like the way they do. So I'm going to leave the church and find me another church somewhere where I can do what I want to do." But when you leave the church of Christ, you just left salvation. You left that perfect institution that has a perfect head, that has a perfect foundation, that has a perfect law. And when you leave that, no longer can you be perfect. So I would encourage us all then to realize what a blessing it is to be a member of the Church of Christ. And thank God every day for the church, because the church is the gate to heaven. And I can't get to heaven, you can't get to heaven, unless we go through the church. So Paul again says, Colossian Christians,
You've been called in one body, in one church, and I want you to be thankful. Tonight, we ought to be a thankful people to be members of the one church. So thankful until again, as I emphasize as I close, that we'll let nothing drive us away from the church. Because the church is going to heaven, whether you and I go or not. So let's live right, so that we can go when the church is gone. So when Jesus presents the church back to his Father, you and I can be members, being presented along with everybody else who is faithful. Thank God tonight for the church. You're here tonight, subject to the call of the gospel. You need to be baptized. We want to encourage you to come. You need to confess of an error in way. We urge you to come. If you need prayer for any reason, we urge you to come. So while heaven waits and while mercy lingers, while we're standing right now, we urge you to come.